Krampus.
Hello, and welcome to the Saladcast. On Friday, the 27th of December, 2019, I'm your host, Dan Train. Joining me today, Zachary Burgess.
Who knows how this is going to go?
And Robert Kemp.
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing every year.
No, this year's way worse.
But yeah, this is your this is Zach's impression of the year.
Well, in general, yes.
Just in general, way worse.
So this is the traditional Crimbo Limbo period podcast. Time for our Game of the Year celebration.
Yeah. Actually, within the year that it's about this time.
Yeah.
Not in January, like it often is.
Not in January this time.
We are punctual.
And so, as ever, we have our categories to go through. So, Maestro, please.
I was just wondering, like, could you be a band called Punctual?
I'm sure that already exists.
Definitely.
But because if you were punctual, that doesn't make you very rock and roll. It's like,
well, you'd be punk. You couldn't do that. You would make you very punk. I think that was the reference you were trying to make.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, maybe rock and roll players are late because they're cool, but if you're punk, you want to rebel against rock and roll, don't you?
You'd be early.
You want to be punctual.
Be yeah, the event's yeah. already happened by the time it
yeah, super
there.
Early. Yeah. So punk.
Okie dokie, we played a reasonable chunk of 2019.
Not
game.
True.
Not true.
Well, given our previous records, we've played probably about the same as previous.
Yeah, but maybe not as many of the supposedly important ones.
Well, supposedly important ones. Because that phase comes into your worst year thing, right? Like, how many of them were actually important to this year?
Is there anything that you're looking forward to from this year to play?
That we didn't get to.
That we didn't get to, yeah.
I mean, that's a category, isn't it?
We're
coming up to that. It's sort of missed is the category.
Yeah, well, I've got a missed... It's not really a category, it's just a missed list that I sort of look at. Well, Control is probably the biggie.
Control seems like the biggie, yeah.
And I'm curious to try out The Tourist, which is Shinnen's new game. Because Digital Foundry seemed to really quite like it. And I was a big fan of Fast RMX, and it's their next project, so...
Even though it's nothing,
it's nothing like that, yeah. But I'd quite like to see what they're up to.
Right. So, what did we play this year, then, Ro?
The list of games we have actually played this year that were released this year: Apex Legends, Automation Empire, Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
It's going to take too long if you do the dumb voice the whole time.
It's not that long. Cadence of Hyrule, Creature in the Well, Death Stranding. Demon's Tilt. Well, okay, Death Stranding, we're going to play like 2 hours. Demon's Tilt. Devil May Cry 5. Dirt Rally 2.0. Gears 5. Luigi's Mansion 3. Nippon Marathon. Oxygen Not Included. Space Engineers. Tetris 99. The Outer Worlds. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Untitled Goose Game. Void Bastards. And Wargroove.
And Autonauts and Rise to Ruins and Ministry and Forager.
Ah, right. All those factory games I forgot.
Well, some of those are factory games.
Are they all out?
Yep, I checked. I actually okay. I went to all their store pages and was like, is this still early access? No. Okay, good.
Right, there we are. These are the contenders.
Ministry.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
That was one of the factory ones.
One of the factory ones. Well, obviously, it's got industry in it.
Yeah, that's how you tell.
We do need just a best factory game category for you sometimes, though. It's the most covered genre.
That's true.
Yeah, but I think it's most covered with the fewest games. Like, one game over and over. I mean, I guess there was quite a few this year.
All right. So, as is tradition, do we want to have a quick recap of our discovery list as well? Be like, what is the best game we discovered this year that didn't actually come out this year?
Which we never remember.
Well, I've got a little list here.
Guess best game of last year played this year, or discovered?
Discovered is a bit of a weird word. But yeah, we used to do best game of last year that we played this year. But yeah. I think last year we expanded that to be of any year.
Okay, well...
Things we never played before that we caught up with.
Yeah.
So from 2018, I played Celeste, Detroit, and Two Point Hospital. Mm-hmm. And from older than that, I played everything. Not everything, but everything. Horizon Chase Turbo, Lichtspear, Sonic Forces, The Next Penelope, Trackmania Turbo, and Yakuza Kiwami. That was my old games list.
Right. From last year, I played Spider-Man. And it was good. Zeg?
But I played Spider-Man last year, so we didn't technically discover it this year.
Yeah, I don't think
I discovered it this year.
So. Yeah. I don't think I started anything new that I hadn't played since this year or whatever. It's like, I was thinking when I looked back at what games I played this year, I was like, Jesus, I really didn't play practically anything on my Steam list, even though I kept saying I should. Like, I think last Christmas I got Dead Cells and I still haven't played it.
Oh, really?
And it's just sitting there and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I did buy that, didn't I? And I kept saying,
Did I get you that? I can't remember.
No, I think I got that myself.
Okay, yeah.
But I think the reason I didn't play that was because they were still patching it, like post-launch, and it was a weird situation.
There was a huge amount of post-launch stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty soon after launch on PC. Well, on all the platforms, actually.
Yeah. So I think that one was a reason why I didn't play that. It wasn't just like I just forgot.
Well, there was a reason at first, and then you forgot.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But with
patches, the waiting begets forgetfulness.
Well, with patches, you never know when they're done. That's the trouble. Particularly post-launch patches, because launch is where you're meant to be done.
when is it good? I'm looking at you, Formula Fusion / Pacer.
Well, at least they changed the name to make it seem like they're stopping point.
The problem is it's not officially launched, yet it's called Pacer on Steam, but is out because of its previous name, which is really confusing.
Pacer.
Yeah.
Everyone's favourite crappy rail bus.
Rail bus.
Do you not know what a rail bus is?
No.
Been up north.
It's like a tram, but not as good.
One of those, right.
No, it's a full-on train, but it's like they couldn't afford proper trains, so they just put bus bodies onto train.
It's a tram.
Yeah, and they are terrible, and there was supposed to be a stopgap that was supposed to last maximum 10 years in the 80s, and they're still running.
Like the ones in the middle of Manchester, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manchester. Rail bus.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're necessarily that terrible.
Yes, they are. They have to be removed now because they're not accessible.
Well, like, sure, that's because they were built in the '80s. But like, once you've built the infrastructure to have like an entire separate road that you can run effectively a tram along, then
trams. They run on the normal railway.
Yeah, but they still drive on the ground. Like
So they're actually running on train. Gauge wet rails. They're not like sunken into the floor or anything. Like
no, I'm talking about an actual. It's an actual train. Like it's not. It doesn't go on tram tracks. It
not the ones in like central Manchester.
No. Those are trams. No, I mean
right.
No. But, they're actual. Yeah. Sorry, I just said yes because they are. I used them and they were in Manchester, but they're not.
Okay, they've got
they're
both.
Not the trams. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they're like just really shitty old trains. They don't even have like separate bogies that turn. They're just two. Sets of wheels just slammed onto the rails.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah, they're really grim. Yeah. It's
grim up north.
That was the one that, like, one of them tipped over, right? That was
a pacer.
I don't know if it was a pacer. But it was, like, one of those bus type train tram things where it's, like, it's sort of. The wheels are in between curbs, which makes it so that if they go slightly off the rails at all, they just tip over.
Don't they have them in Liverpool type area? You'd think like if they were in like because the Formula Fusion guys are like ex Studio Liverpool.
Right? I'm sure that's not the reference they were making.
You never know.
Could be pretty sure they were thinking of like pace cars and such
Formula 1. Of course they are, but
well,
still funny to me.
We got fancy new trains here in East Anglia.
I
haven't seen any yet. Angular. Go past.
I was on one today. Haven't seen the go past? I went past your house today.
Well, I mean, I haven't had my curtains open for like several months. So, you know.
Fair enough. They're kind of weird because they have a diesel like engines, almost like rather than being underneath. So that they can be converted to just fully electric.
Mm.
They have the diesel engine like in what's called a power pack. It's like a small locomotive section, but you can walk through the middle of it. So it's like a little bit in the middle of the train with all the engines, but you can walk through it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then they could potentially remove that, I guess that's the idea. It's kind of weird.
It's like power from the middle.
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, a lot of trains already do that, where they just jam the engine in the middle, but not as like a specific part. It's just like another engine just gets wedged in the middle when they need to change how it's powered or whatever. You see that quite a lot with just like this used to be one of those little two carriage diesel ones, but now it's got a overhead connection because they've just wedged a regular electric engine in the middle.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
But you wouldn't be able to walk the entire length then, which seems odd for a They wouldn't do that on passenger trains, right?
Yeah, but when it's only two carriages, do you really need to walk between the two?
Yeah, but
yeah, because they're understaffed with guards.
Yeah,
they don't need because they need two guards for one of those as opposed to just one.
Not sure there's necessarily any guards at all.
And most trains have at least one guard.
Yeah, they do.
They kind of have to, I think.
The unions get pissed off if you don't have guards.
Probably just moves to the other carriage when they stop at each station.
Oh, I see what you mean. But then who's taking the tickets? Checking the tickets.
When did they do that then?
Like almost every journey. Almost.
Pacer.
Okay.
So best game?
Best
not this year.
Discovery game.
Is Celeste better than Spider-Man?
I mean, if we're gonna have Spider-Man as an entry, then I can't beat it, honestly.
I can remove it if you want to just do your games.
because it's only because it's been covered on the cast last year.
Well, we cover
cover
things.
That would be my only dissuading argument. Otherwise, it's Spider-Man all day long.
Yeah. But, okay. I'm just guessing Celeste because it's pretty good.
Yeah, Celeste would definitely be. I just noticed Jack is a Kiwami at the other end of the list.
Oh yeah,
I did love that.
Yeah, fair.
I did like that quite a lot. Yeah, you know, I would go Yakuza thinking about it.
There we go.
For Kitty and Chad. A point for Kitty and Chad. Does Zacho have any input outside looking in?
No. I mean, I'm sure I'd like Celeste more, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything about the quality of those games.
Alright. So the best game of 2018 that we played this year is Celeste. The best older game is Yakuza Kiwami. How about that?
except Spider-Man's the best game.
except Spider-Man.
Carry on. Yeah. Next.
We nearly gave it Game of the Year last year, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Except God of War happened.
God of War and Smash Brothers and Red Dead 2 happened.
Yeah. A lot of things happened.
This year is different from last year.
Yeah.
This year is different. It's a different vibe.
So we've got, most forgotten category. Like, hey, this game came out this year.
It could be a lot of things.
It could be a lot of things, because it's an incredibly forgetful year. But I think the top two, like, the most high-profile games that no one remembers is both Anthem, because that kind of disappeared, and Days Gone, because that actually came out this year.
I'm not sure how Days Gone was ever that high profile. I mean, they did make a big deal out of it at the Sony not press conference thing, but
yeah,
I'm not sure it was ever that like big a deal.
I mean, yeah, oddly, you might be right. Like, it wasn't. It's not like you had like a whole hour sit down chat about it.
No developers came on stage at any point. I don't think
at E3 to talk about our concept art. Ugh. God, what a dreadful thing Anthem was.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's not forgotten simply because it was dreadful.
Is that what this category means, though?
Yeah. Well, because it got a lot of coverage, is what I mean. Like, I don't know. I don't know if the world has forgotten about Anthem. Everyone remembers that it was poop.
Then this category becomes this weird, like, the ultra middle ground category.
Yeah, it kind of always has been.
But that was what the meh category was for, wasn't it?
Well, maybe that's what we contorted it into.
Maybe.
So most met is Anthem.
I mean, there's all kinds of other shit we could put on here. Division 2 and Rage 2.
Division 2, I think. Oh, was that actually this year?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, God. Well, there they go. This is how this works, right? Yep. Like, suddenly remembering things that happened.
You probably remember that, like, Division 1 still had a lot of patches. That's probably why you might have
thought
it wasn't this year.
Maybe. What was the other one you said?
Rage 2.
Oh, no, I remember. Definitely remember that. But... because it had that Danny Brown trailer.
So you guys are trying to remember the most forgotten thing.
I mean, exactly.
This is a kind of counterintuitive.
Exactly. That's sort of the comedy of it. Crackdown 3. Metro Exodus.
Yeah, if that counts.
Top tier games that were sort of disappeared. Even Borderlands 3 to some degree.
Yes, well,
except just, for the fact that it's on the front of the Epic Store.
Yeah,
that
just put anything on the Epic Store on this list.
Anything on the Epic Store. What the Golf.
Fortnite, what even is that?
I'm quite annoyed about that, actually, because What the Golf actually came out this year, and it's like, well, I can only really play it on Epic Store. Boo. On PC.
Well, I'm sure that will come to the consoles. Eventually. Wait, isn't it already on Switch?
It might be on Switch already.
Switch.
All right. It's a confusing brand action. Just all of those are forgotten games. How about that? A confusing brand action category, which I believe you sort of define, Zach, as an action that would confuse the consumer or befuddle or...
I'm sure I wouldn't have said befuddle. I think that's a Rob word that came up there.
A synonym of befuddle. Befuddle's a real word.
I know it's a real word.
I didn't come up with
it. It's still not a word that I would have said, probably. I don't know. It's just... we were trying to distinguish it from, like, just things being fucked up, rather than... It's like it's a thing that's not, like, bad, necessarily. It's just weirdly confusing. Weird decision. It's just like, why did you do that? Like naming your games Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5.
I mean, it mostly started as names, right? I don't think we actually even did this last year. We didn't make a note. I was trying to look back to see when that Dragon Age game was announced. The Tales of Illusus Age special whatever edition fucking S thing.
That's not Dragon Age.
Wasn't it? No, not Dragon Age. That's the Dragon Quest.
Yes.
Because that was bad. Well, it must have happened last year. So what I've got for that is Town is no longer called Town.
That was less confusing and more just annoying to us.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in that one. That Town was not, it didn't stay as just being called Town, which is actually a cool name, and was called Little Town Hero instead, which is considerably more twee and dull as far as names goes. And I don't know if this really counts either, but you know, the Wii Fit trainer not being in Ring Fit, it's like you've dropped your Fit mascot.
Well, yeah, that was just a confusing decision because it's just like, why would you not do that? It's just like, I don't know. What, like, you know, some developer inside Nintendo actually made that game or whatever. If it wasn't the original Wii Fit team, maybe they didn't want to reuse the Wii Fit, like, concepts or whatever. But still, you had this brand, it's in Smash Brothers, even though that was just there for a dumb joke, but you might as well have just kept that, right?
It's been a dumb joke that's been there for three games now.
Yeah, but that's only because of how Smash Brothers work. It's not because it was, like, they kept wanting to do it.
Well, they did it the year they didn't have to do it. It was introduced in Brawl, right? So it's,
yeah, but I think that was.
And then the version, they just kept it rather than.
That may have just been like a convenience in that case, where it's just like, oh, it's like quite an easy character to do.
But then everyone was there, so they had to bring it back.
Yes.
I don't know. Why would you not have your ready made fitness character?
And even like the one that they did make for the Ring Fit is still like. Almost pale white state. It's like almost the same style, but not quite.
I mean, isn't the dude like you don't really have an avatar? Like, well, you don't really have a trainer in that. You just have you.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So it'll be you see all the time.
Yeah, I assume it'll be customizable. So
I don't think it is. I think it's just male or female.
Must be able to change skin color.
I'm
or something
not sure
like
you
that.
Do.
Yeah. All right. It's probably better than having a me in there, though.
Well, yeah.
Unless it's got a me face with a realistic body.
You need it to be human proportion, kind of.
That was always the problem with the Xbox avatars, right? That's why they changed them. To make them slightly more human proportion.
Slightly. And the me characters in Smash Bros.
Yeah. that Master Chief mess on Steam.
It was weird when they put that on there, and it's like the icons don't really exactly tell you what it even, and like the store pages also don't really tell you what exactly each individual part of it is and how it all links together.
It is pretty confusing, yeah, because you go into it and you can go to the Master Chief Collection page and buy what I think is the same Master Chief, or pre-order, I suppose, what is the same Master Chief Collection that you can get on Xbox, despite the fact that the same Master Chief Collection that you can get on Xbox isn't yet out on PC in its entirety.
No.
Really. The only bit you can actually have is Reach,
yeah,
which I think actually they might be roping into PC version of the main collection, but not the Xbox version of the main collection.
Because it's the Master Chief Collection, and he's not in.
And he's
Reach.
Not in that one, yeah.
So. Yeah, technically,
well, right at the end,
as scenery, basically,
yeah, scenery,
yeah.
Yeah, but then there's also a separate Steam page for the Reach part, and it's like, which you could buy on its own, and it's like, how does all this work?
I mean, it's nice that they put it on Steam, but
is it all just like weirdly linking to the Windows Store?
No, I don't think it is.
And so it is actually running in Steam.
Maybe I'm not entirely sure about that.
But then we could also talk about the fact that the Reach is actually kind of a bad port as well.
That's not what it's currently for, but
it's like that doesn't help either.
I don't know if it's necessarily that bad.
Oh, it's got problems.
Well, it's got a few problems, but like the whole Master Chief Collection had problems.
It's got
frame, ass.
It's got frame pacing and audio issues.
Are you playing it? Same.
And more audio issues. Yet. It's got a lot of audio issues.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to make a video of it eventually.
We probably could once they fix it.
Well, or maybe before they fix it.
Yeah, maybe.
Who cares? We'll record a video of it being broken.
I'm just not happy with those guns.
They're that's poop. A gameplay problem.
They're poop. And also the sound cueing problem is really bad. Overwatch 2. Because I think that's weird.
Okay, right. Yeah,
I guess that's legitimately weird.
But that's that's news of this year, not a game of this year.
It's not out yet, no. But well, that's what this category is fine, right? Because it's like announced branding, and it's
yeah. I mean, it sort of makes sense, but it's still weird.
It is odd. Like, yeah, they clearly need to release something for money, but and they needed and because it's strange because of how much backwards compatibility they're putting into it. It's like they probably would have been okay with. Like putting out it's been enough time that they probably could have been all right with just putting out a brand new retail product, right?
Because they have more initial content than Overwatch originally did, maybe.
Well, yeah, because this is going to have all of the original Overwatch.
Yeah,
content.
But because of the backwards compatibility.
Yeah,
if they put out a fresh new Overwatch 2 that didn't have the backwards compatibility, but only had as much content as Overwatch 1 had when it first launched, people probably wouldn't have been that happy.
Yeah, maybe. There's an argument to be had there. But then they could eke it. It's one of those things. It gives them a bit of marketing power because they can like eke it out slowly and be like, hey, we brought back Liang Yang Tao, whatever it's called.
Like Dirt Rally did.
Yeah.
And they just sold that as a season pass. So that's what Overwatch 2 should have been. It should have just been an expansion.
Except it kind of isn't. It is more than that, isn't it?
It's got the whole single player.
You got the whole single player co-op.
A single player expansion. That's not.
But it is and it's a graphical overhaul.
Well, sure, but then they could have just they should have just put that in the base game. The graphical overhaul bit should have just been an update to the whole engine of the game, and then the extra content you should have paid for.
Assuming it would have worked okay on the older PCs and stuff like that, provided its system requirements don't go up.
I mean, who cares?
Because it stops people from playing when that happens.
Sure.
A game that used to work fine.
Yeah. That they now can't play.
Do something really weird and just leave classic mode in there, like a Master Chief Collection.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you can update your graphics mode, but then have, like, as long as it's scalable to the same requirements, that's absolutely fine. I have no problem with that. But there's no guarantee that that's what they're doing. Either way, bit of a weird thing. And that Overwatch and Overwatch 2 players can play together, and that Overwatch 1 players are still going to get all of the Overwatch 2 multiplayer content other than the single player stuff they're adding.
Hmm.
Including the new... Well, they were talking about a loadout system in Overwatch 2. Like, is that coming back as well? It's weird. It's just weird. They didn't have to do it that way. Next thing I had was like, well, Xbox had some weird, I don't know, I think some bad branding decisions this year. Starting with the Xbox S All Digital Edition, which, you know, acronyms to the Xbox SAD.
Except it doesn't, because all it's digital is hyphened.
Well, yeah. So it'll be the Xbox SAI.
Yep.
But everyone calls it the SAD.
Whether you thought about the E, SAID.
SAID, yeah, they just leave the E off. And it'll be Sade, right? That's how that's pronounced.
Sade. Yeah, Sade.
Sade. Not that, really. And then the Xbox Series X, which I think is a bad name. Because it doesn't differentiate from the One X very well.
No, I guess. Yes, it's
been the whole
well.
Xbox problem ever since they called any Xbox Xbox, and then there was another one.
And then there was another one. The Xbox. The Apple Xbox. And also, just because this is, I don't know, I find this pretty dumb. New Super Mario Bros. Is dumb on its own, but New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe Edition, only available on the Switch. It's like, it's extra weird.
Because they still have a U in it.
Because they still, yeah, because they kept the U. I suppose that is the version of the game that came out. Like, you could probably, like, if they ported Sonic Advance to the Switch, for instance, they'd call it Sonic Advance and not Sonic Switch. But.
Sure. I mean, I guess that was like, why was Advance Wars still called Advance Wars when it went to the DS?
Yeah, exactly.
They just came up with a sub brand for it that happened to an acronym to DS, and that was enough.
Advance Wars DS, yeah.
Dual Strike.
It was a lot of dumb Advance games, wasn't there, back then?
64.
Tactics Advance. Yeah, 64. Put 64 on everything. Doom 64 is now out on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but that's not like a new game.
No, no.
That is just Doom 64.
If they were to make Doom 64 2, that would be kind of weird, right? Bonus points if they called it Doom 65.
Doom 128.
If you think about it, it's pretty weird that game is called Super Mario 64.
Yeah, why? It's just, but that was the thing. Like, that was Nintendo's thing, though, because Nintendo had done that for a while prior, right? Because all the NES games got redone with Super,
yeah, that's true.
Nintendo, and then so they were just carrying that on.
But presumably, the NES original was called Super Mario Brothers, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of screws that up.
It did, yeah, because they had Mario Bros. Was the pipe was the arcade game,
yeah, exactly.
And then Super Mario Bros. Was actually the platformer,
yeah,
platformer.
But presumably, it was called the Super Nintendo after Super Mario Brothers, maybe. That's where they got the super prefix from.
Yeah.
Was it called Super Mario Brothers in Japan, though?
I think so.
Yeah, Super Famicom as well.
Right? Yeah, but that wasn't the NES, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Super Mario Brothers on the NES was still Super Mario Brothers in Japan, I'm pretty sure.
Just saying they used the same prefix in Japan for the console as well.
Yeah. Well, that's where that comes from, anyway. Yeah. Then that's how we ended up with Mario 64 and Star Fox 64. And, which actually, did Nintendo themselves put out any other games that had 64 on the end?
Probably.
Pilot Wings? Was that Pilot Wings 64?
Yeah, pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
Shame they didn't carry it on. Who cares about Mario Sunshine? It's Mario Cube.
Mario Cube!
No, it's Mario Dolphin.
Mario Dolphin.
Yeah, I mean, it is Mario Dolphin.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that is the confusing brand action category. That's actually got some fun extras.
Nope.
I think Overwatch, the one.
Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's that bad.
Well, what's worse?
I mean, the consumer's not losing out if you bought Overwatch 2. But if you bought Overwatch 2 and then realized what it was and that you could have just been playing Overwatch 1 and still
if you bought Overwatch 2 whilst you were playing Overwatch 1 and didn't realize what it was, that would be the one that would screw you.
I think it's because it feels a bit like a dupe, right? That you're duping the customers into buying a sequel that isn't really a sequel.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of Overwatch and you're playing Overwatch, you're going to find out you're not going to be dumb enough to just buy that site, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
You're going to be searching up all the information you possibly can about it.
But what about those kids' parents that are all like...
Yeah, but what about my kids' parents?
They make up probably the majority of these markets.
And the companies don't care about them.
Because they want to dupe them into their money.
Yes, that's exactly why.
and that's why it's in this confusing red action.
I don't think it's intentional.
I don't know, it's Blizzard. I think it's entirely intentional.
I mean, Blizzard in general this year.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Very next category.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so Overwatch 2. Or you think the Reach thing? Is that where you're siding? The Reach thing is kind of dumb, but at least you know it's Reach.
Yeah, I guess. At some places on that page, it does just say.
And it is just Steam. I think it might be easier on the Windows
well,
Store.
Well, sure. I'm sure on the Windows Store, it's a bit more.
So, why didn't they just put Master Chief in there and have Reach as a DLC thing? Like, the framework's there. I suppose you don't want to have to buy into just the entire Master Chief collection. You'd need to have some sort of, yeah. Which you dissuaded. It's like, you'd need a wrapper. You can get
Reach separately.
Yeah.
Like, unlike most of the other stuff in the Master Chief collection where it's just built into that overall package.
Yeah. And I suppose if you bought the package, it's like you'll effectively get everything that was in it if you bought. You just have to wait for it.
Yeah.
It's just not available right now, even though it's out now. Yeah. Overwatch 2. Most confusing brand action of the year. So then we move on to dumbest corporate thing. Or hottest mess. Or biggest screw up, I suppose. So I've got four little entries here. I'm sure there are more. There's been lots of layoffs this year as well. But which are sad. And probably are the result of corporate screw-ups, but we don't really know the details necessarily all the time. So I'm going to let's talk about that Fallout 76 subscription.
We'll just like everything that happened to Fallout 76 this year.
Yeah, I mean it's still Fallout 76. It's still a dumb thing in itself, but I don't know. Why don't we have this hugely unpopular game and add a hugely expensive subscription fee to it? That will solve all its problems.
Also, for a game that you already paid for.
Yeah, for a game that
not
you paid
a free game.
Yeah, for a game you already paid $60 for. It just strikes as a very, like, not feel good thing.
And naturally, the new shit they added in the subscription was broken because everything in Fallout 76 is broken.
Because yeah, what was it that was adding? It was like the primary thing was like, hey, you get some dedicated server space if you're subscribing,
which didn't work. Yep.
And that's the main thing.
And the scrap loot box that just destroyed all your scrap and put it in here.
The item destroying stuff. I think there was a glitch recently in it as well that meant that other players could basically steal all of your stuff.
Yes, there was a hack. Well, it's not really a glitch as much as a hack, I guess, which is technically a glitch, but it was some kind of hack slash glitch where you could pickpocket people from any distance.
That was quite funny.
But I don't know, when I think about how pickpocketing works in Fallout, I wonder how it does work in the multiplayer world of Fallout 76, because that's like, it's such a weird bullshit system anyway in Fallout. One of the dumb strategies is to, like, insert a landmine into someone's pocket while pickpocketing them, and then they just blow up. It's just like, how does that even work?
Stupidly.
It'll be a timed mine, not a landmine.
Well, or a grenade also works.
Mm. Why has my coat suddenly got very heavy and ticking?
But like, why can you steal the armor off people? That's not pickpocketing, exactly.
I mean,
you do have to level up quite a lot in pickpocketing to be able to steal the actual things they have equipped, which I guess is sort of implying like you've become a master at like hella misdirection, where you're just like tapping them on the shoulder, and then as they look around, they're just taking their coat off or something.
Yeah.
I mean, do they visibly lose it as well?
Well, yeah, because the armor is the visible part.
Right,
make them naked, as you do in Fallout.
Because I always thought it was weird in Outer Worlds, it's like once you kill something, like you can rummage their bodies and be like, oh, I'll have your armor, please, but then nothing changes.
No, like weird.
I'd always thought that was a bit weird. I'm going to have your lab coat that you're clearly wearing. Oh, you're still wearing it. And now I have it? Okay. Details, budgets, yeah. I suppose.
Well, maybe. Or maybe they didn't want it to look as dumb as Fallout does. Maybe they wanted it to look dumb in a different way.
Well, yeah, like a whole load of naked bodies on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's pretty much how Fallout always ends up.
So Fallout 76 continues to be stupid. Randy Pitchford also continued to be kind of dumb, with all the allegations against him, but... Well, just allegedly, in fairness. Like, if we're being...
Yeah, but we're never
being,
going to know.
No, we're never going to know, but there's no smoke without fire with that guy, I don't think.
The one with the composer guy, he did get settled out of court or whatever. or like didn't actually go to court.
No, well, that was the one with his lawyer friend as well, right? The big one, all the child porn allegations and the thievery of money, supposedly that got settled out of court as well. So yeah, we'll never see the evidence. We'll never know the actual outcomes of that. But it's all more bad news for Gearbox, really, as a brand. It's like they don't strike me as particularly trustworthy anymore, or anything like that. And then I don't know, it didn't make me particularly enamored with going anywhere near Borderlands 3 as a result of it.
Yes, but there was also the Epic Store, so you know.
And the Epic Store stuff, yeah.
Just stacked on top of each other.
What was the game Gearbox announced recently? Some high profile thing that suddenly had a Gearbox logo slapped on it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, it was that Godfall that was announced at Game Awards.
So you're not a lot of high profile
games. Not yet. But well, it's the first PlayStation 5 game we officially know about, so it's garnered some accidental hype, I suppose.
Mm.
Garnered.
It's a word.
Yeah, it is.
Used correctly?
It's a good word.
Okay, good. It's just rare for
saying
you
it for emphasis.
Garnered.
What does that mean, though? Grammar section. What does garnered actually imply?
It means what it sounds like in context,
as
right?
opposed to just got.
Yeah, but yeah, like
correctly used in a sentence. Garnered. Yeah,
what is the action of garnering something? Like, where did that even come from?
You want the full etymology?
It feels
garnered.
Like a sort of a. I mean, this is because it's Christmas, but it feels like it's like something you'd garner a tree. Like you'd
that's garnish. Decoration. Sort of, you think of garnish? No, that's
well,
for
yeah,
a
garnish
cake.
As well, I guess.
Does it? Yeah, is it
is
related?
That
to
actually
it?
The same thing?
And then rape. What have we got? Cambridge
yeah,
English
I'm working
dictionary.
On it. He's
working on the dictionary for.
No,
except
the cookies.
Cookies and other bullshit.
Collecting and amassing, generally.
But that's not helpful.
To collect something, usually after much work or with difficulty. So actually, in this case, garnered probably isn't the most appropriate word.
They just got...
None of them, Alexa, shut up.
Thanks, Alexa.
I heard you ask for none of them, Alexa, shut up. Your name in your list of contacts or devices.
Good one.
Oh, man. But if just in case you couldn't hear that, the echo in this room thought we were trying to call someone. So I told it, no one, Alexa, shut up. And it replied with, I heard you ask for no one, Alexa, shut up. Great. I know that voice recognition works well.
Yep.
So maybe not garnered, because it means I've had to work for it, I guess.
Anyway,
except we still don't know what the real etymology of that is.
No, not in this list. But stumbled upon some accidental hype.
Yeah.
How about that?
Were donated accidental hype.
They were donated hype.
They got a hype bypass.
I quite like that.
No, not bypass.
Hype
no,
bypass.
You don't bypass the hype. Yeah, like, where did
transfusion.
Them? Yeah, that's fair. Sorry.
So there's that, and then there's that whole Blizzard Hearthstone thing.
You mean the Blizzard Hong Kong thing? Blizzard... Not Hearthstone. Hearthstone was practically irrelevant to this story.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It just happened at a Hearthstone tournament, right, where the winner, a Mr. Blitz Chung, not his real name,
well,
but something
presumably.
Chung. It's something Chung.
Yeah, maybe half his real name.
Blitz Chung decided to... In his winning interview, come out in support of the... What is the name of the movement? I've forgotten.
It used to be Umbrella, didn't it? But now it's just Hong Kong protests.
Right,
it?
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that in support of the democratic Hong Kong protests.
Yep.
To which Blizzard said, oh, God, no, we can't allow this. This is bad news. Banned him from Hearthstone for a year and took away his winnings. And then came up with a really half-assed response saying, oh, but Blizzard does not allow politics. It's not what we do. To which point the rest of the community said, that's sodja. It wasn't you. It's like you're stopping someone else from doing it. And it's like, mm. And it all went nasty, and they handled it real badly. and they gave a sort of marmy, slimy apology.
It wasn't really even an apology.
Yeah, I know at the time I sort of thought it's like, you know what, that actually was okay. But the more I've gone back and sort of reviewed it and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, you know what, they didn't actually really say anything. It's one of those.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything about it. They didn't actually take action to solve it. They just said...
And they didn't really even specifically say what it was.
Yeah. Well, presumably for the people that weren't aware, so they didn't go and look into it. But
those kind of statements are always the same.
Yeah,
you go back to Anthem. They did a bunch of the same kind of statements early on in that as well.
Oh, but yeah,
everyone's favorite. We need to do better posts.
EA are historically terrible at that, though.
Sure,
like they can't be trusted. Anything they say coming out of any of their community feeds. The only time I can, the best example is always the PlayStation outage apology, right, that Jack Tretton did. That one actually seemed legit, and PlayStation actually gave back as a result. That was decent. So Blizzard. And also, I'm going to go with Stadia's business model specifically, because we've got no, like, hands-on experience with their tech here, other than seeing third-party reports and hearing third-party reports. But their business model sucks. Like, it's like, why would they... It seems so out of touch with where the industry is going and what people will actually buy. Like, so, okay, maybe buying your games on someone else's launcher isn't such an unusual thing, right? But it's the fact that you're paying full price for old games with no real discount. You're paying full price for all of the Tomb Raider games at the moment. And it's like...
unless you get given them for free after you've already bought them.
Yeah, with the pro subscription thing, which is also doubly weird, extra odd. Not all of... The pro subscription itself is odd in the fact that you have to pay this extra bit of money every month in order to get the 4K streaming and the surround sound streaming, which most of the games don't support. Mm. Slight correction to myself from earlier the year. I said that there were some rumors, but I got a little bit confused between like the power of Stadia and like what it's actually running on and what xCloud is running on, because of the stuff about Destiny 2, in that they made a decision with Destiny 2 to lower the graphical fidelity to make it run at 60 frames per second over Stadia.
Okay.
So it's at rough... So I was correct in saying that it ran at medium settings, which is lower than what the consoles run out, but it's lower than what the consoles run out because they
to achieve the frame rate.
That you can't get on the consoles, yeah. So it's... And in fairness to... And that's no real reflection on the other products. For instance, the Tomb Raider games really do run at good resolution and with all max settings and things like that. So that's which is what xCloud doesn't do. xCloud is actually capped at 720p at the moment and stuff like that.
But so as you said at the time, why do they need to turn it down? Because isn't the whole point that they're meant to be running on super awesome theoretical computers?
Yeah, to an extent. It's possible that actually just Destiny didn't have enough time to put in the work to make it work properly on their rig or something like that.
It doesn't seem like their virtualized instances are scalable in themselves. It seems like they have a set virtualized...
Yeah, as does xCloud, actually, because xCloud is running on S's, as it turns out. Xbox One S equivalents, not Xbox One X equivalents, like I thought they were.
Yeah.
Which is, I find a bit surprising, actually, from the Microsoft side. I know they've probably got a whole load of S hardware lying around that they could easily modify and make these things. But
Maybe.
Yeah, you probably have to rip them out of the boards and
move
the chips around, perhaps. But yeah, who knows? That just seems a slightly odd choice, anyway. But anyway, it's just a really crazy model. Like it's you can only buy games that you've probably got elsewhere, for which the local experience is better most of the time.
Bleh.
And potentially you might even have another service that already does that, like even just Steam.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's if you're already a Game Pass member, you're going to get xCloud for no additional cost. And it's like it makes it a real hard sell, unless you really are that weird use case of person who doesn't want a box under the TV, who just wants a Stadia controller and a Chromecast.
A smaller box hanging off your TV.
Or is happy playing off your laptop. Or, you know, those use cases.
Mm.
And for some reason you can pay the money to buy Stadia, but you won't pay the money to have a box. You know, that is the weird... It's a really strange thing. Mm. Had they made the subscription just have the games, all of the games, then maybe they'd have been onto something a bit better.
Mm.
But as it stands, it's a hard sell. That's my list, unless I miss anything more from the two of you.
No, I don't think so.
So which of those sounds most dumb? The Blizzard stuff is probably like politically the worst.
Yeah, Blizzard is like the worst dumb. Not necessarily the dumbest. No, I think that probably is the dumbest dumb.
Yeah.
The other ones are just like generic dumb, I don't know.
It's hard to know. Like, it sounded like there
like
was
obviously Fallout 76 is just Bethesda being Bethesda dumb. That's just like that's just how that always happens.
That is Bethesda level dumb. That is what you mean. There's just regular level Bethesda.
Yeah, pretty much at this point. And then Randy Pitchford is just like a guy being dumb.
I mean, he's just a fairly easily detestable human being, if you can call him that.
And then,
he's a
tool. But then once you get to Blizzard, it's like now we're actually at corporate level dumb.
Yeah. It is high level dumbness. I mean, it's like half the Blizzard stuff is, but like some of the responses they gave out, they then tried to double back on a little bit, in the sense that that initial tweet that went out where they were saying like we don't want to respect our glorious friends in China or something.
Yeah, but that was like a China specific.
Exactly.
Tweet.
Yeah, that was Blizzard China.
That is like a separate corporate dumb.
Yeah, the two entities weren't really working together, and they did eventually like give Blitzchung his money back, but I think they still upheld a bit of a ban.
Yeah, like half of it.
Yeah, which is still not. Why not just go the whole hog and reverse the whole thing?
Well, I mean, they, you know, even though they bullshitted it quite a lot, you know, they did still technically have a rule. And, you know, if you're not, you have to enforce a rule at a certain level. If you've decided that he did break that rule, you do have to enforce it.
But I really liked, was it Jeff Gerstmann's argument about all this from Giant Bomb? He said it in a way nicer way than I'm about to recall. But he effectively said, like, if you're ever doing a game that's about, like, inclusivity and stuff like that, like Overwatch tried to be at one point with its. By making Tracer a lesbian character, for instance, or including slightly different body shapes for the females and things
and
like that.
Generic racial stereotypes.
Well, and yeah, to a lesser extent, I suppose, that side of it. But they were trying, and kind of outwardly trying, to make Overwatch an inclusive game. Mm. That's a political statement. Right there. That's a kind of against that. That's like stating where we stand as a company.
Well, and like when he was making the not really an apology at BlizzCon,
yeah.
He was wearing a rainbow Blizzard thing. And it's just like, right. You're literally wearing a completely separate political statement while you're bullshitting about this. You don't want political statements.
Exactly. Like, well, the rainbow is even more overt in a way because it's like that is a movement, right? That means something.
Yeah.
That's not just
Hong Kong protests aren't as meaningful.
That's not what I meant. But do you know what I mean? It's like it's not just saying. There's a difference, I think, between like I support that stuff and then actively wearing a symbol of that stuff that represents a specific movement of that stuff. It's like it's a fine line. Don't get me wrong, but it's like it's like coming across all like the rainbow building in Spider-Man and stuff like that. It's like, oh right, they're making a thing.
I mean, everyone understands the whole concept of like the easy targets versus the don't touch that with a 10-foot pole targets.
Sure.
At this point, the rainbow slipping that into any game, that's just like super easy target.
Oh, and then it's even worse by the fact that I forgot about the fact the whole thing that they fired the shoutcasters because it was their fault somehow.
Well, they did kind of prompt him onto the whole. They basically said, we know you're about to do this thing and we're going to let you do this thing.
Oh, so, did they?
Kind of, yeah. Partially was their fault.
Because I thought they then all sort of like ducked under the desk when he said it and was all like, oh boy.
That's just,
oh, blimey.
That was like a funny reaction, not a legitimate reaction, I believe.
Well,
from the transcripts of that, They were trying to make it appear like they were shocked, except they weren't really. They knew what was going on.
Okay, maybe professionally goading that scenario is maybe bad form. But either way, it's not Blizzard's opinion, and I think anyone with two brain cells would have known it's not Blizzard's opinion. Don't overreact. Ugh. So Blizzard, the dumbest corporate thing. I'm just going to say Blizzard outright. Not even that, just that event. Just Blizzard.
Blizzard this year.
The dumbest corporate thing of this year.
But at least maybe they're not going to be part of Activision.
Really? What?
Something went... There's been definitely suggestions that like the Activision Blizzard thing might be on its way out.
No, really?
They might be splitting, or maybe not completely splitting up, but just like detaching themselves a bit more in general.
Because that sort of started, didn't it, when they backtracked on the whole Blizzard Battle.net thing and then putting Activision stuff into it.
Hmm.
Which I think they still did with COD this year, but
although actually, you know, if you compare what happened with Blizzard this year, Activision has been pretty quiet.
Activision have been pretty quiet. What have they done? They've had Call of Duty.
Yeah, they just released Call of Duty like they usually do.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even.
It's not a bad Call of Duty.
Yeah, it didn't have any unusually bad problems or anything.
No, it's just Call of Duty. It was Call of Duty this year. It's like plain sailing. Still, pretty probably much. The biggest selling game of the year.
Is it?
But, I mean, it has been.
Yeah,
since forever, so it's not a surprise anymore.
Hmm.
All right. I don't really have a worrying trend of the year other than even more subscriptions.
Yeah, well, I mean,
just keep piling them on. Subscriptions upon subscriptions upon subscriptions.
I feel like we've already said that last year.
Yeah, I think we have, yeah.
I mean, that goes double for TV, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Disney Plus adding into the mix and...
Got to watch that Mandalorian. It's pretty good.
Kind of do, but
you could use the dark side.
Okay, could use the dark side.
That's where this is going, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's exactly the problem. Yeah, it's like they made everything easier for a time, and now they've made it all complicated again.
Well, complicated meaning money.
Yeah, it's insane. It is insane. It's too much.
I mean, that was like. That was the original trick of making it easy, was to make it money, but not like too much. They didn't go super hard, which is what all these subscriptions now are doing. They're all going too hard. It's like, we pay for this shit like once for one of these companies, but now there's like 12.
We used to get all of this through Sky. Why do I now have to pay 5 different people?
Yeah.
Actually, probably... Yeah, Sky don't get it all, unfortunately. They're working with some of them now. I think to bring some shows over to Sky, but blech. A general good thing of the year, good trend.
It's okay. What have you even got?
There? I mean, I haven't got really anything other than
well, okay then.
Other than like, well, the trend has begun that more of the major quote unquote first party exclusives that aren't really first party exclusives are now starting to. Be less exclusive. So what I mean by that is like you're starting to see games that would traditionally have been tied to a specific platform thanks to a publishing deal, like Detroit, which, you know, has historically always been published by Sony and only ever been on PlayStation. Let's start to break free of those shackles a little bit. Sony is like loosening their reins on where they on where some of these games can be. So that stuff's all turned up on PC this year.
Yeah.
Like Microsoft are kind of doing the same thing as well by like letting Ori be on Switch and
Halo on with Steam.
Halo on Steam, yeah. It's all starting to and EA coming back to Steam.
Yeah, also.
So it's like the and then you've got Epic going in the completely opposite direction, tying everything up. It's like everyone else is trying to be friendlier and work together, which is great for consumers. And then you've got Epic trying to be the assholes in the corner. Talking about more subscriptions. Hey, that was that bloody Ubisoft one as well, right?
Yep.
The Ubisoft Pass. Or whatever it's called.
You know, I think the pass is a more ignorable.
Yeah. And PlayStation Now is becoming more viable as a subscription service now that they changed to not being streaming only.
Mm.
That it's now a download service a little bit like Game Pass, but not quite as good. Game Pass is still the daddy. So there's that, and just the general again, loosening of the rules on crossplay sort of started to accelerate properly this year.
I guess.
I mean, it hasn't. We're not there yet, but with games like Destiny starting to operate like proper profile transfer or and things like that, so you can actually play across multiple devices. That's not cross play, but you can at least move your character around. Rocket League getting its full on Rocket ID system.
Except it still doesn't do what you want.
It's still not what I want. No, it's not a full profile transfer, which is what I want. But so I can play it on any one of my devices with all of my stuff, which is the ideal. But, you know, Fortnite has been loosened up, so Sony capitulated
eventually.
There. Yeah, it was a hell of a battle, but we got there. And I think that's a good thing in general. Let people play on what they want to play. Call of Duty actually is weirdly like possibly the best example of this year, because they let any one of the platforms play with each other, but do the controller segregation thing. So if you're a keyboard and mouse player, fine, use keyboard and mouse, but we'll put you in hoppers with other keyboard and mouse players, which is makes extra sense because you can use the Xbox with a keyboard and mouse now, and COD is one of the games that supports that. So it's like you can play keyboard and mouse on whatever you want now and play with other players with the same control mechanism. And likewise, what still like playing COD with a controller? We've got you covered. You can play with anyone on any platform with a controller. Brilliant. Well done, COD.
I guess there was the other continuing trend of loot boxes getting shit on, I guess this is what you'd call it.
I mean, it hasn't been a terrible year for loot boxes.
Well, no, but that's the point. Like,
they're still there.
They've started to be like, let's maybe not make a big deal about our loot boxes because people are kind of pissed, and now maybe we can tone this down a bit.
I mean,
and maybe governments will start coming into this situation shortly.
I mean, you could sort of argue that maybe the actual worst loot box system of the year was in Apex, because it had has like a hard cap on the amount of stuff you can earn for free. So you can't, there comes a certain point where you can't grind out anymore and you have to buy in, which is sort of against the spirit of free to play, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, but it arguably isn't that the same, that's like technically the same as any other pass system, except just laid out differently. Like if you're on the free Rocket Pass, you only get the free items, and then you don't get the premium ones.
You can't get, yeah, there's no way of getting the premium ones. I suppose the slight differences is with Apex is there are gameplay ramifications in that system, in that they're, you know, the extra heroes,
it's not just cosmetic.
Whatever, the extra legends, are something you have to buy into. You get a base set for free, but anything they've added since launch you have to pay for, which I think is now up to 4 or 5 of the legends that someone like me wouldn't have access to because I've not paid any money. And they're like most free-to-play models, if I were to add all of them, it's not that cheap an option, right? I'd suddenly have to put down the full price of a game to unlock all the other stuff. And that's only going to get worse over time. So, yeah, maybe not the best system from Apex, but which is a shame, given the quality of the rest of that thing. Those are my good things list. Are we talking about, would you prefer the more crossplay or the more spreading of where you can actually buy your games? the removal or the reduction in exclusivity? Oh, hey, also Microsoft stuff being on PC. That's a big thing, right?
That's good.
I mean, they've had that for a couple years, but like
it's really coming to.
It feels real. It just feels seamless now, almost. I can sort of be like, oh, it's come out on Xbox. Oh, great. I'll play it on PC. Fabulous.
That seems like a good thing.
Yeah.
And something they're in a position to do, which is cool.
More than almost anyone else. Well, actually, completely more than anyone else. Well, except maybe EA. If EA Access was good, and you could play their games on any platform.
That's true.
And that's not bad. But. So I might go with that one, I think, personally. The good trend, slow release of exclusivity, because it is going to be better for everyone eventually. Crossplay is nice, but But I don't think
you need to buy the games on different platforms to be able to crossplay.
to an extent, yeah, yeah. There needs to be more. The games need to be in more places for, and then that will potentially drive the crossplay thing even more.
Hmm.
The two kind of drive each other in a weird way. Yeah, it's better for the industry overall. audio thing.
Good one or bad one?
Good one. What noises made you smile this year? Just random noises, anything, and that can be from like a little musical chirp to just a single sound effect. I want to nominate the level up noise from Outer Worlds because I think that's really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Instead of it just being like a ding or hey, you leveled up kind of notification that appears in some games. No, they do a big old orchestral swell. That's basically the theme. What do they call it though? When it's like a short sequence of notes that
like a little riff type thing.
It's got a special name, isn't it? Like that little thematic.
Oh right, yeah.
Like the Halo's like oh, that's then repeated in other.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Terms, aren't there?
Yeah, so it does. It's one of those, but it's a lovely sort of like.
Jingle.
Like nice and
nice.
Feels good. It's real nice. Makes a big deal of it. It's often well timed as well, so it'd be like at the end of a mission because that's when you get the most experience. So it's
cool. You get it.
So it's like, I completed a thing. Bah, da, 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 da.
Yeah. Can't beat the Skyrim choir though. It's like,
just dagger, 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 dagger. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a good one.
Most comedic sound effect of the year has to go to Bloodstained for the EU guys. When you kill the 2-stage death animation that's far too long and far too loud, where they just go when they die. The EU guys. I love it. I mean, there's quite a few you could talk about from Bloodstained, really, like the stupid swords that are just like, but like very clearly just a dude going, like, not even like
growling.
Yeah, just a bad growl. It was like, we'd be remiss to leave out the Untitled Goose Game honk.
The honk.
Honk.
Goose honk.
Honk. Honk. But sort of probably more so because of the way it contorts, like the honk in a bottle is pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's got like a bit of reverb.
Yep, you can. It has different variations based on what you got in over your beak, and you use it for gameplay to startle people and make them hammer their own thumbs.
Yeah, yeah. The gameplay honk,
and you can just do it at any time for funsies.
Honk. I think it could have done with more honk variations.
It's pretty distinctive.
Yeah, but if you do the same one over and over, that's the way you get. That's where you need this. It's like the fucking witness and its 1,000,000,000,000 different kinds of footstep.
Right. You can make it echo down the well.
Yep.
Harmonica honk.
It's pretty great.
I quite like the KO noise from Tetris 99. I know it's simple. It's just a simple robot voice going KO, and then you go ding, 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 as you then get your medals.
You just hella punched the mic.
I did hella punch the mic. Yeah. You'd think I'd be used to this by now.
Yeah.
But that's quite satisfying. And it doesn't count because it's not a game of this year. But I did quite like the sort of warning that Majima was about in Yakuza Kiwami. Like when he's nearby, you just get a little sound effect that would go, Kiryu-chan! And it's like, then you know he's nearby. And he's like, there's a fight nearby. Be aware. Kiryu-chan! Any more crazy audio things?
Good audio things.
Good audio, yeah. Good audio things. Or things that you feel... They don't have to be good in the technical sense. They just have to be like things you enjoy.
Well, that is kind of the definition of good, isn't it?
Kind of good.
I like the how, I mean, it's not a surprise, but when Clay did Oxygen Not Included and they did the duplicates' voices, you know, are just sound effects in a, or, you know, in a Sims-esque style, except less vocal, just like set. Because they did the same thing with Don't Starve. Although, I guess Don't Starve was better, is the thing. Because the duplicates in Oxygen Not Included just have, you know, they have different tones depending on what who they are. But, like, it's the same one sound effect. Whereas in Don't Starve, each of the individual characters had, like, a different version. Like, you have the guy who sounds like a violin, and then the guy who has, like, sounds like a saw blade or something. Like,
I like that.
It was more varied in Don't Starve, but Oxygen Not Included does basically the same thing. It's just a little warpy.
I do appreciate a good one of those, because, like, I could, like, had we played Celeste this year, I might have put down their voice work. Because I thought that was pretty good.
It's kind of similar.
Well, because it's the Towerfall sound thing, but they expanded it, like, significantly and made it expressive, and it's great. So the Oxygen Not Included chirpy language.
Yep.
I like the idea of them just being random objects. That's kind of cool.
Yes, it was kind of cool. Don't stop.
Any more? Not much from Link's Awakening. That struck me as a place that might have some decent sound effects.
Oh, yeah, they're all great, but there's nothing that stands out particularly. I mean,
It's just good sound. What about Luigi's Mansion?
Well, I mean,
worst audio.
Yeah, worst audio thing we're coming up to.
Worst audio thing Luigi's Mansion 3 is the absence of the, which doesn't really count, but
no, you're forget
the cool get key sound from Luigi's Mansion 1.
Save it for the next category. But, like, one of the good things, I guess, of the sound of Luigi's Mansion is they still did another remix for the ringtone of the Virtual Boo. Because you got to have that.
Right.
You got to have it play the little tune when it's ringing like a phone, as Luigi gradually pats all his pockets, even though he just like pulls it out of nowhere and it's gigantic because it's a fucking headset.
That is great.
Yes, it's a little more funky this time. I mean, you know, because of the high-tech sound chips or whatever, but sure. It's not a Game Boy any longer. Yeah.
But then the Game Boy one from the first game was quite funky.
Well, yeah, the sound output is one step up over the theoretical device that they're basing it on. I think is how this has progressed.
Right. I don't know what the sound on the Virtual Boy would have been like.
Probably it didn't have any, did it? Or it had a headphone jack.
It must have had something. Probably NES level.
But yeah, when you had the DS in Luigi's Mansion 2, and that still had the same thing. Although that made more sense as a phone, because it was like a flip phone, essentially.
Really big flip
phone. Yeah. Still made more sense, rather than fucking carrying a fucking virtual reality headset around.
Using the DS as a phone, you flipped it open, would you be vertically holding it like that? But, like, really, what would you have to side talk?
Well, you'd be FaceTiming because of the screens.
FaceTime, right, okay.
That's probably it. For audio things specifically.
Yeah, which of those sounded the funkiest then? The Outer Worlds, the E-Oo guy. Probably my personal favourite, because it's just so stupid.
And Bloodstained.
Yeah. It's a great sound test library to go through.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because there's a whole load of random samples that I think were just like Kickstarter rewards as well.
Okay.
So if you go through the sound test, you can hear the character say dumb stuff that isn't in the game.
Well, I'm sure it probably is somewhere.
Maybe.
Some really ridiculous hidden bullshit.
Some of them are just straight up quotes from other things.
Right.
So I'm sure they were just like, hey, I'd quite like this guy. I'd like David Hayter to read this line, please. Because David Hayter's in that game.
Mm.
The goose honk, the Tetris KO, the chirpy dudes,
chirpy dudes,
Oxygen Not Included, or the funky beats from Luigi's Mansion 3. Dan, you got an opinion?
I mean, it sounded like the Bloodstained one was the most interesting to me.
Necessarily good, but it is funny.
It is very funny. It didn't get old. That was the thing. Like some bad comedy sound effects can get really annoying. This one did not, because it kind of made me laugh every time.
You were just reminded of Quick Money over and over, that's all.
Yeah, that's a reference.
Oi. They also go ooh, don't they?
They do go ooh every now and then as well.
But yeah, maybe that's that same enemy that goes ee and ooh?
Yeah, it's a little bobbly thing. It's like
ee. Atom.
And then run away from me. Ooh. That's sometimes both at the same time.
Yeah.
Ooh ee.
So clearly that's why Rob likes that sound effect.
It's
a psychological impact from his childhood that's ingrained in him now.
You've read me. That read. What's that called? You got thoughts?
Well, yeah. No, I thought we were already done
with this. Okay, we're siding with E and ooh for comedy value. Although the honk, I think, must be up there. I think they're all pretty good this year, actually. Yeah. Like the Outer Worlds level up will stand out for a while.
But it's no Mysterious Stranger.
It is no Mysterious Stranger. Mysterious Stranger.
We're always going to reference that.
That is hard to beat. E-oo, with honourable mention to honk. Honourable mention. And now, of course, we have to do the exact opposite.
Yep.
The worst audio thing.
And this is where Louise in Action comes in again. As right. Bob said, the key pick-up noise is not nearly as dramatic, but that's kind of like the one for the GameCube was like, it's kind of a bit over-dramatic almost.
Oh, but it's so good, though.
But the actual, clearly the worst thing about Luigi's Mansion 3 is he doesn't hum the song.
Yeah. It's an awkward one, isn't it? Because really, like...
Because, I mean, there's a lot more songs, for a start. So it's not like you're not... It's not just the theme all the way through all the time.
But it's awkward in the sense that it's the absence of things that were previously cool.
Yeah.
Like, why did you remove them type things, as opposed to...
You can at least still say Mario over and over and over.
Mario.
Except it's not even that's not as cool any longer, because he doesn't, like, it's not tonal shifted, or at least I don't think it's tonal shifted, depending on, like, his health, like it used to be.
Because it used to be like, oh, no, in certain areas, if he hadn't cleared them yet, he'd be more scared. Well, it's on your health, though, as well.
Like, when you had low health, it got worse.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think it... I think it might still be... If you do it while, like, there's ghosts around or whatever, I think you still get the different version of that.
The slightly more timid version.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it's not nearly as good. It's not nearly as well done.
Mm. But are there any, like, specific, like, super annoying sound effects in that, though?
I don't think so, really.
I mean, it's funny that they brought back, like, Egad's exact voice print again.
Well, sure. What else were you going
to
do?
And then even lip syncs to it, which is even better.
Nice.
Bamba. Luigi.
Yeah. And then I guess the other main one that I had for this category, which I mentioned ages ago, because I actually thought about the game of the year well in advance for a change, only except for the one category that is so dumb and pointless that it doesn't really matter in any way. The start of Autonauts. It's not the Autonauts developer's fault, because it's the publisher logo.
Right.
But it's so, like, totally opposite to the whole game that it's just really abrupt. And I think Rob might actually know it, because it's Curve, which did Snake Pass.
Oh, right.
So okay. I don't know if they still had the same thing on the intro of that. You might not have recognized it.
Try and remind me.
But, like, it's the Curve logo just comes, it just pops on the screen, and it has this, like, distorted sort of screams at it, where it's like, it's just like, really loud, growly scream sound effect.
I'm pretty sure I'd remember that.
But it's just like, it's the complete tone shift between that and then, like, the regular Autonauts, like, cheerful, you know, cute music that Autonauts had. It's just like, that doesn't even fit slightly.
So it's like Sega, but even shorter.
Yeah, it's like Sega, except like just a sound. And it's like, that's just bad. It's like one of those things where a publisher needs to have multiple versions of their logo to fit the tone of a game that they're putting it on, right? Yeah. It's what EA always used to do. Kind of. It's in the game.
Did they do Snake Pass?
I'm pretty sure they did. Published, at least.
I thought Team 17 published Snake Pass.
I don't know. Team 17 have published far too much shit lately to even know what they did.
Yeah, I can't find it on this on Curve's list, which is pretty big.
Yeah,
in fairness.
You know, I hit it on
they did Thomas Was Alone.
I hit it on Steam, so maybe
Mousecraft.
You're just going to keep scrolling.
Yeah. Oh, Proteus.
I didn't even know.
Yeah. Can I find something with that sound? This is the thing. I want to hear what that sound is.
You want to hear it?
Just, yeah.
I don't know.
Curved digital sound.
Or just to do like.
It's not going to work.
Publish a Lego or something.
just because it's.
I'm probably misrepresenting it fairly badly.
No, that's not working.
No, that is really not working.
What were the EA Sports variations? Did they do one for cricket, which was like EA Sports? It's in the game, old chap. Something like
that. Not quite like that.
That would be a lot better.
No, I don't think EA Sports necessarily did that much variation on their EA Sports is in the game. They just used that over and over. But it was much less offensive and it fitted with sports games.
Yeah.
If you know, I mean, that's why you used EA Sports, I guess. But, you know, EA always did, with the Battlefield games, they had their different versions of their logo for each of the games. More than that varied, but they started doing that.
What's going on with the Battlefield music? Because, quite quickly, they took the at one point they took the 1942 classic theme of the dun 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 dun, and they just distorted it and down to one note as much as possible. To
that was
the Terminator.
Was that Battlefield? Oh yeah, it's so close, isn't it?
Have they just done the same thing?
That was made sense for Battlefield 3 when they went hella modern.
That was fine.
And they were we're gonna at the time it made sense to have it all fucked up. And then when they went, by the time you get back to Battlefield 1, they're like, let's do this in weird, military marching band form, except not really as good as the old versions. You're trying to watch a video of someone playing Autonauts. That's not going to work.
No, I can't find it, unfortunately. So it sounds like Master Chief getting sniped, I mean.
Not quite like that, but and way more distorted.
Weird.
Sounds bad.
It was quite annoying. Oh, and I guess maybe I could also say this is kind of maybe a bit too wide ranging, but just the continuous noise of Forager, just stuff constantly happening is constantly making noise, and it's all kind of rhythmic. If you have your auto miners or whatever, they're all going to go hitting on a beat. So it's chink, 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 and from all angles, all the time, constantly. And all different items are popping out of things and making weird plingy noises. It's just it gets a bit intense for a quite casual-ish game.
Again, the mining in a lot of games can sound like that, right? Like somewhere you just hear it constantly because it's what's always going on.
Sure. It's just because in Forager it's because as you get further up the tech tree, it is all about automating everything.
Mm.
So everything is just running continuously all the time and it's always doing that.
That does sound pretty annoying. I've not got many issues this year. Mm. Those sound worse, I think. Because I noticed already in Death Stranding, I think I'm going to get annoyed with the like sound pretty quickly. Because it sounds like a little chipmunk saying like.
So that's probably good to
say. So when you finish a delivery, you get a whole load of stats about every piece of cargo you're carrying, and it takes you through that, and you get likes for doing well in certain characters. And every time a like gets added to your currency, it goes like, in a really sort of chirpy little way. And it's I think that's going to get annoying. There's lots of lovely bleeps and bloops in that interface. It's everything makes a different noise. It's and it's that's quite satisfying.
Hmm.
But then interspersed between all that, it's just like it's really weird. It's not that loud or particularly obtrusive, but I just think it's going to bother me after a while.
Hmm.
A little bit like the whole Metal Gear Solid 5 scanning dudes.
Oh yeah,
vocals got really annoying after a while.
The Soviet soldier is
what was it? It was soldiers scanned or something when you looked at them through the binoculars and it would always say something.
Mm, yeah, there were those.
I got really. It always said the same thing.
I tuned that out completely
right.
When I was playing it. So, yeah.
Talking about things I probably should have tuned out eventually. I think the Void Bastards barks,
right.
The enemy barks. It's there's just not quite enough of them. And they sort of try and, because they're all trying to be British comedic, after a while, you've heard them all. And so like the next time you come across a juvie who's like, surprise butt face, it's like, it's no longer that interesting. It's just something they say, and it's I wouldn't say it gets hugely annoying, but it's just a bit weird.
Hmm.
Like, what? Like, why do all of the scribes constantly refer to someone called Barbara? Good one, Barbara. And this is kind of a good bad, good stroke bad one, in that I recently played a bit of Demon's Tilt because it's a pinball game and it came out in Game Pass. Not a particularly brilliant game, but I can kind of appreciate the direction they're going with their audio design, and that they tried to make it all kind of a bit all FM synthy, old pinball table-y, like the original Black Knight table level sound.
Right.
Like terrible voice clips that don't quite work and or sound muffled and horrible. But this is where the problems start, because everything is in this aesthetic, and that it's a very busy pinball game.
Hmm.
There's a whole lot going on and a whole lot not very much structure to it. And so, like, there's no real cohesion behind it all. It all just sounds like it's just... It's like a Mega Drive having a bit of a fit with itself. And it's... It becomes a bit grating on the ears after a while. Yeah. So there's that. But I don't think any of them are quite as annoying as your... I think the tinkity tinkity tink is going to get really annoying real quickly.
Yeah, it was a bit extreme.
We have a winner.
The Autonauts tinky tink.
No. Forager.
Forager tinky tink. Forager. Oh, Forager has automation. I didn't realize that was...
That's kind of the whole point of the game.
Okay.
So it's not really automation. It's like you buy a building that just does one thing. You don't. There's no linkage, really.
Okay. You're not defining robot routes. And...
No.
The Forager tinkity tink. It's not funny, but that's kind of the point.
This is the bad guy.
I suppose I don't think it would win, but it is quite annoying that, like, because it's technically bad as opposed to bad design.
Right.
In that Bloodstained running on my Xbox had quite a lot of audio skipping problems.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, it almost always happened, like, when a shard came out that you hadn't had before, and it sort of felt like the whole game paused for a brief moment while it loaded the sequence of a shard going into you. And, you know, just sort of causing audio skips. Oh, I've got a good one from Bloodstained, actually. The woman that gives you the kill stuff quests, and you have to every time you speak to her, the conversation that you... Oh, okay, all of the voice work in Bloodstained is pretty bad, like across the board, even the David Hayter stuff, which is a shame. But the when you speak to the woman with the quest, it's like she always says, your character will always say, "Got any monsters for me?" And then that's not the bad bit. The bad bit is when you then exit that menu, you then have to listen to the woman go, "Kill those monsters dead." And it's like, it's funny, like, the first time, but like every time you leave the menu, she's like really enthusiastic, and like, "Kill those monsters dead." And it's like, that actually gets pretty annoying. Probably not as annoying as the tinkity tink.
No, that doesn't sound that annoying, really.
I don't know. It's just like, it's because it's bad, right? It's like one of those bad, not English, English accents.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like someone trying to do an English accent, but failing. Not as bad as the shopkeeper, like the girl who eventually becomes the shopkeeper in that game, who's like trying to be Cockney. "What would you like to buy? What would you like to sell? Thank you."
That sounds like just a throwback to Resident Evil.
Kind of. It's like an American doing an English impression. Everyone's Paul Van Dyke, right? Not Paul Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke. Okay, yeah, so we'll stick to the guns. I just thought I'd bring those up.
Mm.
Tinkity Tinks from Forager. Worst audio thing. Let's do some best looking games. What did you like the look of this year? What made an impression on your eyeballs?
Mm.
From that, I'm saying probably not a lot. Was it not a technical showpiece year?
Well, it wasn't a technical showpiece year. There might have been some ones that...
Was there an aesthetic really enjoyed?
I mean, I guess, in my situation, it's hard to say, but I think Dirt Rally 2 probably looked pretty good, except I can't tell on my system because my system is too old to run it. It looked pretty good considering how far I had to turn it down on my system, but that doesn't really tell you much about how good it actually looks.
Well, for scalability points,
yeah,
I think that counts.
And not technical, but more like aesthetic, I guess, you know, Cadence of Hyrule looked pretty cool for a pixel arty game, the sort of mashup of Zelda and
Crypt of the Necrodancer. Yeah, if it did look, I do like its style quite a bit, but I think it, like, in an odd way, I think it almost borrowed too heavily from Crypt in some ways. Like, I know that's kind of its thing, but I think I'd quite like to, if they had sort of not tried to factor Crypt into it and try and mix the worlds and actually just been like, hey, here's a different take on Zelda. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think they really could have done any more to take from Zelda.
maybe not.
They pretty much just stole that tile set directly.
Yeah. Cadence of Hyrule in general, I think, is a game that could have benefited from them actually going a little more wild than they did.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like a decent foundation for something that perhaps should have been expanded upon.
I mean, that's not even talking about the graphics. Like,
yeah.
That might as well say that about the whole game.
The whole game is that, like, through and through. And I think that extends to the graphics. It's like, I think it's like they could have gone fancier in their low pixel way, kind of way.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's a step up from Crypt's presentation, for sure.
Well, I don't know. I like incredibly low res pixel art.
Well, it doesn't mean it has to be bad. Pixel art. Pixel art's great. I love pixel art. But sometimes there's a flourish to it. Like, I don't know. It's a bad comparison, but like something like Owlboy, right?
Right.
That neo, almost Neo Geo era pixel art, man. It's like, oh, that stuff is so nice. Death Stranding looks pretty good from the couple of hours I played of it.
I agree. The landscapes look really
cool. They do look really pretty.
Even though they don't look like America at all. But that doesn't seem to be a problem.
No, like, I don't understand.
No, I don't get that.
Why? Thematically, it seems pretty obsessed with America, which is odd.
And yet you seem to be traversing Iceland.
Yeah.
Get ready to find out that's actually a spoiler. It's not America all along.
No. Yeah, but then half the characters were supposedly alive in old America. So it's like, it's a tricky one.
Mm.
Like, how did they end up where they are? Oh, I suppose it's a Kojima game. Anything could bloody happen.
Yeah.
I think it's cool looking.
Yeah, and it so far the tone has been nothing but bleak.
Yeah.
And the visuals carry that.
Yeah, it's a bleak
thing. I think it has some, it's hanging on its thematic crutches a little heavily, but that's a Kojima trait.
What engine is Death Stranding?
It's Decima. Which is the same engine they use for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, they've done good work with that engine, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a shame it has got frame pacing issues.
Everything seems to.
And that it's not, you know, for a game targeting 30 frames per second, it's not 100% smoothly keeping that, which is distracting. Doesn't mean like an individual still looks fantastic, but sometimes things in motions look slightly less fantastic. And I think it's actually like it's mostly okay during actual gameplay. It seems like the cutscenes suffer most. Mm. That's a pretty good looking game, Guillermo del Toro. There's a lot of actually the hair in that is actually some of the most impressive stuff. I think some of the hair animation looks really quite good. Mm. The detail on Norman Reedus's beard. Gotta love that beard tech. From a technical standpoint, I think you have to mention Gears 5 this year, because that is a hell of a PC port for both, like, not just for good looking, but that thing runs. It's a speedy ass it's Unreal Engine, but it's like it's super well implemented and runs incredibly well. Like, you know, you could consider a 1080 mildly aging now, I suppose, in terms of tech. It's been around for a while, but I could max that thing out. Mm. Admittedly, I was running it at 1080 and not 4K or anything fancy like that, but I could max it out and got a perfectly stable 60 FPS out of it. Mm. Never had an issue with it at all. And it's some of the texture detail is amazing in places. like, you know, super crisp. Like, I had to download the extra texture pack for it, mm-hmm. or whatever, which is an option in the game. It's like, you don't need this, but if you want it, it's like, so I did textures. It. Yeah, and it didn't impact my performance at all, so that's great. And it's just like, oh, the way some of the lights, like, you know, the suits have always had those lights on them and things like that. It's like the quality of that light seems to, even just that little detail is much improved. The facial animation seems like it's gone through a major step up. And just how expressive they can be with that stuff. This is not to say that the Gear story was good.
Yeah.
But it's like the way it was presented was really very nice indeed. Yeah, just the raw visual style. And quality, really very good. But of course, the iconic look, if we're going for stylishness, and or style in general, Goose Game. It's got a style.
Yeah, a Goose Game looks great. I don't know if it serves best looking game, but it's very, you know, it sticks to it perfectly. And I don't really understand how a like Australian studio managed to do that.
Strange, isn't it? Yeah, it's
English country village. They must have been half of them must have been from England.
Yeah, expats or something.
Yeah, I reckon. Complete down to like the menus having like the street sign.
Yeah, yeah, British street right signs
and everything.
I don't know. Yeah. I like Australian street signs like that at all. Like,
I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, it's great looking, but is it? The best aesthetically, probably.
No, I know what you mean. It sort of nails its style, and
it kind of goes along with everything else, though, the audio and it and the just everything. I don't know if the visual aspect of it is particularly the most interesting part. Not interesting, but I don't know, standout part. Yeah, just all goes together.
Yeah, it works as an aesthetic for that game, and it's like, you know, I don't know, just the look of the goose on its own.
Oh yeah.
Is you know, kind of the iconic part of it. It does that thing that I don't like. I'm not a huge fan of like visual styles where everyone's noses are red. Do you know what I mean? Like that thing they do where like they're flat faces, so they wanted to show the nose, they wanted that they had to darken it in some way.
Yeah,
because the flat aesthetic. But I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that art style where everyone for some reason has a redder nose than the rest of them, and they use that to highlight everything. If I was to have a complaint, that's just me.
No, fair. And agreed. Yeah,
a personal aesthetic thing. Yeah, you got any shouts, Ziggle? What about Luigi's Mansion 3?
It's
nice. A pretty good looking torchlight.
Yeah, the lighting is pretty decent
for a Switch game as well. It's pulling some.
But that's what Nintendo does.
Yeah,
like they make shit work.
So I suppose that's true. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's like necessarily super impressive or anything, but that's the thing. As like that's why you say that's what Nintendo do. You expect it.
They make it work well, and you know that in combination with it's like the Luigi's Mansion game with a decent physics engine.
Well, I think we probably said it several times on the podcast, but I don't think having a decent physics engine is a thing that you should be celebrated for any longer. You just import Havoc, and there you go. It's high time that everyone stopped importing Havoc and made their own fucking physics engine, but you know.
I guess it was mildly surprising that it had one, right, given the sort of...
The older games kind of had physics, just not, well, no, like, not like everything had physics.
No, that's what I mean. It's like, I don't know, Nintendo, I feel like always having... I think they're renowned for having the very precisely defined, polished experience, right? And in a way, throwing physics into it.
Yeah, but it's not like the physics are like really things you interact with much. It's just like it's physics that just causes things to fly into your vacuum.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or tumble around the room. It's not really like you're playing a physics game where you're like shuffling crates around or anything.
Right, I guess. It's just a visual fun thing. Yeah, I suppose you're right. Not actually, yeah. Not actually a gameplay affecting thing, but a nice visual flair.
Flair.
All right, and that will be the category. What's everyone's thoughts then? Is it a Death Stranding, even though I've only really looked at it for a bit? Nice and crisp. On a 4K screen. I think Gears is a more impressive feat. But just because of what they've managed to, or it's, as Digital Foundry put it, it's one of the best PC ports of a game they've ever seen.
Yeah, sure. But like, yeah, I guess the aesthetics are rooted in Gears history.
Previous Gears, yeah. If you the aesthetic, like, and even then, you could argue that the aesthetic of Gears has changed somewhat for this new series, and it's like, true. And I'm not as much of a fan of their
new direction.
From an art direction standpoint, it's like there were, it's a frustrating thing about Gears 5. There were hints of it. That opening act, I thought, was actually pretty strong, and was like, yes, this is Gears. This is what I like about Gears. You've gone back to it. Fantastic. Cheers for that.
And then they moved
away. Then they moved away from it into their open worldy stuff, and which was a nice. I mean, it was nice to see from a, like a variation standpoint. You know, the icy area. I don't think they've done snowy areas before in Gears. So, and it was a good looking snowy area for sure. And the red sanded desert of the third area is kind of striking, but it's. Yeah, in a weird way, it's like those sections are so long, like the icy section and the red sandy section, they make up like more than half the game on their own, because they're massive. Yeah, they make up the majority of it, and it's just I think I got quite, you know, kind of bored of the red sand aesthetic, especially after a while. It's like they outstayed their welcomes a little
bit. Right, I see.
Which is not something I really have a huge problem with in the first trilogy. Like, even if the first game is entirely brown, destroyed buildings, it's like somehow it still works. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
I feel like in the first game you weren't really looking at the scenery that much, though. It was more about the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
You were just doing the thing.
But then I went back and played Gears Ultimate Edition not that long ago, right? And still wasn't really an issue. Yeah, maybe the gameplay is just so good that you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, weird one.
I don't think we ever specifically... I mean, we only played Gears in co-op like one time, like the whole thing, I guess. But I don't think we ever really stopped to look at the series specifically, except for when you first go into the caves all the juice.
Oh, that juice.
But that's built into that scene, is like that's your moment to stop and look at that.
Look at all that juice.
Well, and the moments where it's like, push Y now to see thing.
Sure, but those weren't even that great. I mean, there's a helicopter, I guess.
Or we're zooming on a building being destroyed. Hey, the enemies are coming from here.
Sure, but that's like more helpful than it is like look at the cool stuff.
Look at all that juice.
What are we thinking? Somewhere between Gears and Death, then, I guess. And it's more technical, but I'm not sure I have a real aesthetic winner this year, particularly. I don't know. Cadence is up there, but I don't know if it's high enough.
No.
I like the Death Stranding aesthetic, to be fair. So that's like a combination. So I would probably go for that.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. That's a good, fairly decent argument.
It appeals to me.
The two together work.
Yeah. Even if it's not as good technically as Gears.
Yeah. I mean, I want to put a minor shout here for Devil May Cry 5. Because it had, but only because it's not going to win. Not because it had hints. It's one of those games that, again, hinted in the right direction. Like the opening city aesthetic, which is again also kind of weirdly British London-y sort of feel to it. It's the year of the accidental London.
No way, accidental.
And in a way, it combines with like the way the action plays out and stuff like that, and some of the looks to their cutscenes, and the opening cutscene, like the credit sequence. That's Redded in Engine is so stylish and so well done. And that will come up in Best Moment, actually, because I think it is really, really good. That it's just a bit frustrating that they then fall back on hey, we're going to go back to the Klypof environment for like half the game, and it's just like rock. It's like grey rock pathways and isn't really very interesting at all. And it's like, oh man, you were onto something. And then you ballsed it right up. Ugh. And your characters actually look really good. You know, the style of the design of the characters, I think, is getting better. But No, not there. So Death Stranding, then. Let's go with that. You have?
Mm-hmm.
Happy cycle.
Not that it's a good game, necessarily.
I don't know yet.
We'll find out.
I don't know.
Stay tuned to the Salacast to find out. Death Stranding.
I've seen Mads Mikkelsen's face, like, twice.
Yeah.
It's a good rendition of his face.
Yeah.
Not convinced by Fragile's performance yet. The best ongoing game / update, which I think has a few contenders. Smash Bros. DLC, because it's been high quality stuff, honestly.
And they've announced even more.
They've announced the second season.
Well, they didn't announce the second season. They just announced that there's going to be more.
Well, everyone's assuming it's like it's another pass.
I think the way they phrased it kind of implied that it wasn't going to be.
Well,
it's going to be individual ones.
No, that would suck. Because it's like they always charge too much for their individuals, historically.
Yeah, but it's only like £5 more over the pass of these first set.
Mm,
assuming that they don't suddenly ramp up the prices for the individual characters.
Just give me a pass, I'm in.
Well, yes. It's nicer to just buy a pass.
Yeah, I'm unequivocally in. You're like, Nintendo does decent work with its DLC, in fairness.
Yeah.
It's like across the... It was too expensive in the Wii U version of Smash Bros. By a long shot, but generally speaking, Nintendo do a really decent job of DLC and their pricing. Like the Mario Kart 8 DLC, hell of a bargain, really, for what you got in it. And I mean, yes, now you get all that stuff in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe anyway, but...
But it's old, so that's why.
at the time, it was absolutely fine, and even the Splatoon expansion, I think, was basically the entire single player. Like again,
yeah,
it was big enough. So they've got a good history of DLC, and it's really good to see that they're carrying that on with Smash. All of those characters are great.
Grand,
yes.
They all seem very well designed and played. I'm actually really quite a big fan of Terry, especially. I think he plays brilliantly.
Slightly easier to handle than the Street Fighter ones.
Yeah.
I think that's the
Street Fighter ones are quite awkward.
It's just because he has, like, marginally fewer options. Like, the Street Fighter ones, like, they have, like, three goddamn different strengths of punch, and then you have the command inputs as well on top of that. It's just like, that's a bit much. Two strengths of command input and not, like, messing with any of the other attacks, that's a fine.
and the sheer lengths they went to capture Joker's style.
Yeah.
I think in a weird way, Banjo actually feels like the weakest of the lot.
Well, like we said, he's the most generic Smash Brothers character, but he's actually like the most Smash Brothers character in like moves.
Yeah.
He's just like a generic character, which is totally fine and appropriate for him. He doesn't need to do anything particularly fancy.
Even though the gun stance is weird, I suppose, and how that app works.
Sure, but I mean, that's not that different from some other characters' things that they do.
Yeah, I suppose it's not massively difficult for Mega Man, who's just weird in that sense as well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so Smash, like damn decent support.
Damn decent of you.
Got to talk about Rocket League, because they're forever supporting it. The Rocket Passes, I think, have continued to be decent.
The
last two, 4 and 5, have been pretty decent.
Sure, right? But I don't think that really is like something to be particularly celebrating.
Well... Yeah,
I mean, it's all that Rocket League can do, really. But like,
especially in the face of the blueprint stuff, which I don't think has gone particularly well.
Sure, it's like in a world where everyone didn't hate weirdly shaped arenas, Rocket League support could have been a lot cooler. But everyone hates weirdly shaped arenas.
Yeah, I do miss old Tokyo.
Yeah, I know. Every time I see even just Wasteland, when I've gone back into a replay that's on old Wasteland where it was sloped, I was like, oh yeah, I remember how weird this was.
Wasteland aerial.
Yeah, Wasteland aerials.
Man, I would. Yeah, I wish those were in rotation. Because they're not...
They are technically in rotation in, like, in Rumble.
Oh, in Rumble.
So right. If you're playing Rumble, those will come up.
I wish there was, like, a... I suppose Rumble is ranked now, isn't it?
Yes. But... Only ranked, in fact.
Yeah. It's like that there were... Well, I mean, that was like now that they've got the like arena preference list.
Yeah, which became totally pointless as soon as they got rid of all the weird arenas that ranked.
Yeah. That perhaps like that could have been part of that somehow.
I mean, you know...
Or you could just have a pure modifier to be like, I'm playing in the pure playlists.
Yeah, but they had that. It was called Rocket Labs.
Mm.
That was where all the weird maps were, but no one played it, so they didn't really help. What if they made Rocket Labs ranked?
They were too weird in some respects.
I don't know. All of those were playable.
Yeah.
But none of them would, like...
The double goal one, I think, was the most annoying.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I mean, some of them were worse than others, but, they all functioned.
But anyway, yeah, was that stuff all removed this year anyway? Or did that happen?
That might have been late last year when they actually took out Labs.
Yeah. And they haven't been quite so strange with their game mode. I mean, they've added, like, the special modes that are fleeting, but they haven't been... There hasn't been, like, proper modes.
Yeah, they're just stripped-down versions of Rumble, basically.
Generally,
Based on one or two of the power-ups.
With some of the modifiers thrown in.
Yeah.
I still want that random mode, right? The ultra-random mode, where it's like, here's a normal Rocket League game. I'm going to play it on any map.
Because that's what you...
Not with Rumble rules, but just have all the weird ball modifiers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you originally did as soon as they introduced the modifiers, was you set up a random modifier game, because you could do that. And it was like, oh, now the ball's pinball and tiny, and now the ball's huge and floating. And it's that was cool for, like, that one-off thing, but no one's ever going to actually do that unless constructed playlist.
Yeah, really, they should just do that. Just do exactly what we just said and put that in a playlist and nothing else, and I'm happy, right? They're weird, like...
But no one will play it.
Well, there's enough people still playing Snow Day, right? And
barely.
I can still get into a game, it's fine. And elevate Chaos to a first-class citizen. 4v4.
Yeah,
well, I want 4v4 to be a proper rank list.
I don't think Chaos was ever not a first-class citizen. It's just like that was not... Then people... You know, getting four people together to play a game is more difficult than getting three people to play a game.
But yeah.
So therefore, less people played it, and therefore less people that weren't in groups were willing to go into there and play it as well.
It is more difficult, for sure.
It doesn't have a ranked playlist, I guess.
That's the thing. I just want a ranked playlist. Like, just upgrade it. It's not a second-class citizen. Who plays one-on-one, honestly?
Yeah, exactly. Well, too many people is the answer to that.
Not good.
No, but I mean, with one-on-one, it is arguably, like, different just because it's one-on-one. It's a completely different game at that point, which is good to have, even if we don't care about it.
I guess, yeah. But yeah, all of that, then we were kind of bitching about old things there, but, like, I'm not sure that Rocket Pass on its own is enough to elevate it.
No, it's just like it's kind of generic.
Yeah.
It's continued support, but it's hella generic continued support.
And it still hasn't quite done the things we want it to do with its general structure.
Mm.
And, like, you know, I want my profile everywhere, yo. So I can play it on console or have it on the Switch and not have to worry about it.
Switch.
Shout out to Just Shapes and Beats, who relatively recently put out the Cross Shovel Knight update.
For some reason.
And four remixed tracks from Shovel Knight. And they're actually all pretty good, in fairness. Like the King of Cards one, actually, or the King Knight level is possibly the best.
I feel like that, like...
And I love the graveyard level music. I think that's just... Actually, most of the Shovel Knight music is fantastic. Sure. So, like, these remixes are even better.
But I feel like that might be on the same... Not quite as bad, on the same scale as the Rocket League thing, where it's lost, like... They could have done better. Like, one update to that game quite a long time after release is great, but, like, that game could have gone a lot further.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's quite a lot of content in it.
Sure.
Well, and most of it takes forever to unlock unless you're playing it with four players.
And, if you're just playing through the game, you play a lot of content, and that's not even all of it, but, like, you know. I mean, I guess it did get quite a significant modding scene. Like, there's a lot of modding
tracks. Yeah, there's some workshop stuff that I might want to investigate how that works at some point, but then I'm probably not earning the points I want to actually unlock the rest.
Well,
of
you
stuff.
Might do, maybe.
Yeah, I don't
Depends
know
how it's built.
Don't know how that works, but anyway, I thought it was a cool little update.
Yeah,
it pulled me back in. I thought I was out.
You were never really out. All you need is rhythm games.
Yeah, it is the season for short little bursts of things. And Just Shapes and